Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Let us pray. Grant us repentance, O Lord. Lead us in this holy season of Lent to acknowledge your holiness, our need for your mercy, and lead us to acknowledge your gracious loving kindness and compassion. For you have rescued and redeemed us from our sin. In the most holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. We've come again to Ash Wednesday, the beginning of our Lenten journey, preparing for the joyous resurrection of our Lord on Easter morning. In our text for this evening, the prophet Joel is telling the people of Israel, God's chosen people, whom he redeemed from Egypt, telling them to return to the Lord. It's a common cry from the prophets. It's so common because, as we know, the people of Israel were apt to stray. They were prone to disobedience, rebellion against God, and often provoked his wrath and anger. Joel himself begins his writing with a decree of utter destruction delivered to him from the Lord. It would be a calamity like nothing ever seen or experienced before. And in the midst of it, we have this call for repentance, which promises hope. Who knows if he will relent? Who knows indeed? The reality is that our Lord is gracious and compassionate, full of mercy, slow to anger, and abundant in steadfast love. The question is not whether he is willing to relent and turn aside from his fierce anger. The question is whether or not we are willing to relent from our rebellion and disobedience to receive it. Rend your hearts and not your garments, says the Lord. Put down, crush the evil that is within you. Cast down the idols that you hold on to. Put to death the sinful desires of your flesh. Cast aside the works of darkness that you undertake and return to the Lord, who is righteousness itself. That is the call going forth from the prophet. The Lord is desirous to show mercy. The Lord is predisposed to show kindness. He desires to richly provide and bestow blessing. The problem is we're not desirous to receive it. We're not disposed to lay hold of his kindness. We don't really desire his mercy. Now I know many will object and claim they're always desirous to receive God's blessing and kindness. But very often we have a limited understanding of what these things really are. Most of us look only outwardly for blessing and kindness from God. The type of blessing we seek after are those things to make our life easier or more comfortable. The type of kindness we look for are those things that allow us to boast above others, hold ourselves as more deserving than others. The natural inclination of all of us is to look at material wealth, the comforts of this life, the riches of family, relationships, and friends, and we believe that the greater the presence is of these great blessings from God in our life, the more God must be pleased with us. The more capacity we have to indulge ourselves in good things, we think the more love God has for us. If God does act to restrain us, to hold us back, We say to ourselves, if God does not restrain us, if God does not hold us back, we say to ourselves, there's nothing wrong with how I'm living. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And so we drift further and further from God. We walk further and further away from his real blessing, kindness, and mercy because we're blind to what it really is. Just look at your own heart. Look at your own life. Consider the amount of wealth and leisure the great majority of us have. Consider how we fill our lives with trivialities and non-essentials. Ponder for a moment how little time we need to spend on the most vital things of our existence, like procuring food or making sure we have shelter. Consider how much opportunity we have to make choices and decisions in our lives about how we're going to fulfill our needs, how many different career paths we can take, even how society is structured around us, allowing us for leisure time and even something we call retirement. And yes, in spite of all the running you do, if you look carefully, almost all of it is in order to do things that would not even have been possible for your grandparents or great-grandparents to do. We complain constantly about our doctor's appointments, needing to go to all of our kids' and grandkids' sporting events, needing to zip and zoom 100 miles in a day, then come home, pop something in the microwave, or drop by a fast food restaurant, stuffing our face with things that barely resemble the good gifts of God which he gives to us as food. And in all of this business, in all of this hustle and bustle of life, in all of this time we spend doing things that would have been impossible 120 years ago, we complain. We complain that we just don't have enough time to ponder the goodness of God, to receive from him the mercy he generously pours out upon us in his word and sacraments, to lay hold of the forgiveness he holds out to us, the righteousness and loving kindness which Jesus brought into the world through his own death on the cross for sinners. Even with greater access to books and online streaming, telephone devotions, on-demand instant access to God's word, we're just too busy to make use of any of it. And when we do, we close our ears or flip the channel or go find some other preacher to listen to when what we read or hear doesn't scratch that itch in our ears. And each time we take one more step further and further from God, each time we slip further and further away. None of it happens all at once. None of it happens with an intention or heart to deceive God, at least not when we're clear thinking. It happens gradually. We begin with the best of intentions. We start with the most earnest motives, and then, little by little, we slip, we falter, and eventually we fall. The cause of this is well known to us. Even though we are rescued and redeemed by Christ, we are still creatures born of the flesh of our ancestors. We have inherited the sinful root of Adam. And there's a war going on within each of us. The good that we desire to do is left undone. The evil we don't really want to do, well, that seems to just happen. But we know it doesn't just happen. It occurs because we lack self-control, as Peter says in our text from his letter. It occurs because we aren't able to hold ourselves back. It happens because we don't have the spiritual strength to persevere, to remain in the things of God as we desire. We find it a law in our outward members. Even when we want to do good, evil is right there beside us. And we cry out with Paul, "Who will save me from this body of death?" And this is why we have Lent. In part, Lent brings us face to face with this reality, that though we are redeemed in Christ, we aren't yet fully free from the sinful nature, the nature that seeks to corrupt us once again and drag us out of Christ's kingdom. So Lent comes upon us with its disciplines and traditions to show us simply how out of shape and flabby we are, spiritually speaking. It presents us with an opportunity to further crush the sinful heart, the desires of our flesh which lead us astray. It leads us to discipline ourselves, strengthen the new man within us so that we're able to resist more and more, living outwardly according to the faith with which Jesus has implanted into our heart. This is what it means to rend our hearts before God, to recognize the sin that is within, and not only simply wistfully desire to be free from it, but to discipline ourselves, to enter into that spiritual struggle against sin in our lives wherever it's found. And to be sure it's there, just beneath the surface, underneath the show we make to others that we are just okay. Sin lurks in our heart, and it makes its way into our members, so that we act outwardly according to the desires of our flesh, rather than the holy desires of the new man. But Lent does not come upon us to leave us to our own devices. Trying to rely upon our own devices is what so often causes us to stumble and fall. Lent comes to call us back again and again with the call of God, delivering into our ears hope, mercy in the midst of our struggle. Lent is a time to, yes, double our efforts at rooting out sin and identifying those things that lead us into temptation. If necessary, even denying them outright to ourselves and fasting from them for a time. Denying ourselves the pleasures of life in order to bring our outward flesh into subjection. Into subjection to Christ and the new man which he has caused to grow within you. Lent comes into our lives in the midst of our struggle against sin and points us clearly to our victory in Christ Jesus. Lent comes to bestow his blessing, his mercy, and his kindness upon us so that ultimately we do overcome. Lent reveals how serious the struggle is against sin and how difficult it is, and it calls us to take it seriously so that we would go along and follow after Christ Jesus, who came into the world to release us from sin, not just to release us from the punishment due to our sin, but to give us his Spirit and every hope and every blessing, so that we would overcome in our lives those things which hold us back from spiritual blessing. Because that is God's desire, to give us his mercy, to give us his kindness, to give us his blessing, if only we desire it. And this is the blessing of Lent, that it fixes our eyes upon Jesus, not only the author and perfecter of our faith, but the one who has overcome in victory over your sin and mine, taking it to the cross, putting it to death in his own death, to give you new life here and now. And so return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, rend your heart and not your garments, because we know indeed that he will relent from evil and grant us eternal life in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Our worship continues as we rise to sing our offertory at page 192 in your hymnal.